I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you know your limits? Do you? Do you know your limits? Where you should say, I hope so, because in case you didn't know, you are weaker than you think, okay? Sure, you have this like potential strength of God's supernatural spirit in you, but we have this treasure, in fragile human bodies, aka jars of clay. That's us. Remember, we're just dirt bags. That's literally what we are. In jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. You know, not quite crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Okay. Who here has ever seen any of the 9 Rocky movies? Yeah, exactly. Why? Why? And why do we need 9? Why are there 9 Rocky movies? And why are there a lot of other movies like Rocky? I'll tell you why. It's because we love stories where the protagonist is brought to the very brink of death. Because when all the physical or emotional strength gets beaten right out of a body, we get to see the higher power of the human spirit that remains. Right? You know, that like last one, oh, he's done for, and then he just pulls himself up and he can barely do it. Like, this is, where does that come from? Like, we like that. That's inspiring and we relate to it. So in the same way that we're inspired and empowered by Rocky's indomitable spirit, Paul says the best way for Christ's Holy Spirit to fire us up is by picking us up after this world nearly beats us to death, which it does all the time. Because you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, that's when Christ died for the ungodly. So if you got to get this. Our big problem that constantly needs correcting has always been overconfidence in our capacity. Yeah, that's us taking on the world every single day, right? Because when we think that we're all we need, it can be fatal when our strength fails. Like, we go up for something, we're like, I can take care of this, and then it crushes you dead. But when we admit that some of our battles are beyond our ability, we can be saved when our strength fails. Right? If you know that you're not going to win this, that's how you're going to get saved, because flirting with failure forces us to find trustworthy faith. You know, it's not you. You realize I can't do it, so you got to find something better. When life is steady, and those rare moments where everything feels like it's steady, we are able to pretend that we're self-sufficient. Look at that. Noah's doing all right. He's okay, you know, for 5 minutes at a time. And we're able to pretend that we're self-sufficient. But when the ground gives way, when something in life happens and it just, uh-oh, things are not so easy, we're suddenly very aware of the help that we need. And if you remember, I love this analogy, we've used it before. It's like standing on the edge of a cliff right when it crumbles. Because you feel it slip, and the second you start falling, your own strength is completely irrelevant. It doesn't matter how strong you are or anything, because you're just falling now, right? And if while you start falling, if you see a branch on your way down, you don't stop mid-air and start researching. Oh, wait, what kind of species of tree is this? What's the wood density? How is its root system? Is it strong enough? You don't think any of those things. What do you think? Give me that, right? You just reach out and you grab it. And when it holds you, you learn everything you need to know, right? When it holds you as you are climbing back to safety, you learn that the strength to save isn't in your hands, it's in what you grab, right? So it ain't us. It is not how hard you grab, it's the thing you grab. And so Paul reminds us that we are always flirting with failure down here. That's what life is. You are always on the brink of death. So we gotta grab for whatever it is that God is providing. So if you think that you are standing firm, be careful you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to all mankind. That's just how it is. And God is faithful, though. You got to hear that. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, because you will be, you will have troubles in this world. When you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. But hang on. Okay, before we go any further, hang on. Did you hear that? This like seeming contradiction. God provides escape so that we can endure. Aren't those different things? Isn't that like a contradiction? You're asking yourself, am I supposed to stand and fight or is it flight time? And the answer is yes. He does this all the time. It's both. Yes, it's fight and flight. He's saying sometimes endurance means persistent fighting, right? You got to stand your ground and you just keep going and you just, you got to fight your way through it. And sometimes it means just preventing failure. It's just, hey, you're not going to win now. You just got to stay alive because you can't live to fight another day if trying to tough it out is going to kill you dead, right? Like, so if you want to endure, sometimes you got to just cut and run. And that is exactly what Joseph showed us last week in Bruce's wonderful sermon that I loved a lot. I didn't get to be here for it, but I know all about it. He didn't survive Mrs. Potiphar's honeypot cougar trap, which I love that phrase, the honeypot cougar trap, by pretending that he had the capacity to stand strong when the ground gave way. He didn't just try to go, we're going to make it through. Instead, the second that she snagged his skirt, he grabbed God's nearest exit to flee before his strength failed, before something went wrong. He was like, we just got to get out of Dodge. Because escape is not always the opposite of endurance, like we think. Sometimes escape is part of endurance. Sometimes you got to get out of there to keep going, which is why weightlifting makes such a great analogy. You see it in a lot of sermons because it really is a great, and God baked it into reality for us to learn. But every bodybuilder knows. I mean, every one of us bodybuilders knows. Ha ha, I don't know why that's a joke. What are you talking about? Yeah, exactly. You know what you're looking at. Anyway, every bodybuilder, we already know the key to growth is resistance training, right? It's what we call it. It's resistance training, how much you can resist. But you ever stop and really think what that means? I mean, that's a weird thing. Resistance training. Lifting weights, what it really is, because whenever I lift weights, it is such a bizarre proposition, right? What you're actually doing is just putting yourself in the path of gravity's crushing power. You're like, what's this heavy thing? Let's put it right over my head, and training yourself to resist its increasingly dangerous, situation where you're like, okay, now it's so heavy that if I drop it, I die. That's what you're supposed to do. And here's the really sick part about it. The greatest growth that you can get happens just before failure. So the best possible situation is getting the heaviest thing that you can find and getting it into the most dangerous place that you can barely hold it. That's stupid, guys. Come on, that's ridiculous. But that's what you're supposed to do. The whole strategy is to push yourself to the absolute limit of your ability right before all your bones snap and your muscles explode on purpose. That's what you're supposed to do. Because if you go one rep too far, which I don't know if you've ever done that. There's a lot of fail videos about this. If you go one step too far, your strength is going to give out, gravity is going to show up, and your head's going to get caved in. It is true. It is that dangerous. So the question becomes, how on earth do you do this safely? How do you safely ride the line between maximum growth and total death? And the answer is this. The smart lifters use spotters. Spotters. Yeah, see, we get it. I know. Gym rats like us. You use spotters because spotters aren't there to lighten the load. That's not their job. They're not trying to take the weight away. No, that's not it. They're there to prevent a fatality. They're there to make sure that you stay safe. They're the trusted hands that are watching intently as we push our capacity for resistance to the limit. And they're just watching and waiting. They're looking to see where you're at in that. And they only ever jump in when we're about to collapse completely and we need a way out of harm's way. Right there. Okay, let me help you with that. Because otherwise it's going to come back down and you're going to fail, right? Spotters are the fail-safe we need when endurance requires escape. If you want to keep lifting today, we got to get that one off of you, you know? And so they press us, you know, and they encourage us, but they really, like, a good personal trainer will be barking at you without, you know, taking the thing. They're like, you can do it, do another one, right? So a good one will just continue to press you to resist whatever weight you got. Just keep doing it until you are so completely depleted, because they know that the brink of failure is the pinnacle of progress. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Too much, right? Like, that's how it's supposed to be. Here's the unfortunately great news is God knows the same thing, and God does the exact same thing. So like a good spotter, he encourages us to just keep struggling, right? Hang in there until we have the need for rescue. Right when you're like, all right, Lord, I guess we're going to fit. This is Abraham with the knife. Like, here we go. Okay, I'm going to kill my kid. And he goes right there. Okay, stop. He takes you to the brink and then he saves you. And so that's what Paul is getting at in all these scriptures. God allows us to be hard-pressed but not crushed. And he allows us to be, you know, tempted but not beyond what you can bear, just to the brink. And this is because he wants us to lose confidence in our strength to find faith in his. While you're growing, you get to grow this whole time, but to realize that when, there's an end to your strength and you need him. He wants us to live our whole lives to the very edge of our abilities, so when they fall short, which they will, he can show up and he can show us his spirit has the power to rack whatever worldly weight is about to crush us. You know, whatever it is, he's like, go forward, deal with it. You got it, you got it, you don't got it. And that's when he got you. Because we're all battling stuff down here. It's the nature of existence. We're all battling to resist death and decay. Right? That's it. We're trying to just not submit to the ways of this world. We're all battling it nonstop, trying to resist it. And until we admit our weakness and ask Jesus to come in and spot whatever struggle we're having, until we do that, we're going to be turned into something. And we're going to be turned into something insufficient when we start to slip. You're going to slip and you're going to grab and it ain't going to be good. Which is why Paul implores us to flee from idolatry right after promising that God will provide an escape from our imminent failure. Because one way or another, we're going to fall short, and then we're going to need help. But idolatry is putting faith in an untrustworthy strength. That's when you grab for something else. You know, oh, you know, myself, I can do it. No, you can't. You know, oh, science, whatever the thing is that you think is going to save you, it just doesn't. And so Paul is screaming this point. He's saying, he's trying to explain it. He's just, listen, there is only one branch that can hold us. Reach for that one. There's only one arm that can lift us to save us. And this is all done to save us from learning that God is faithful the hard way. You can figure that out when, you know, the hard way, when it's on your face and you're just like, I should have listened, right? But he's saying, figure that out now. Because reaching out for any other spotter when we're about to fail means that the weight is coming down, and it's coming down hard. So when you try to save yourself or reach for something on earth, it's just, you're going to feel the pain. But even then, okay, let's say you listen to Paul. You get this message. You understand it. I got to reach for God. Even then, the real question is whether we recognize his faithfulness when it shows up. You know, what is it that he wants us to do at that point? Are we doing one more rep, or is it time to rack the weight? Because it is hard to tell if God's faithfulness is the strength to endure, if he's saying, you got another one in you, or if he's saying, here's an exit to escape, get out. Like, you can't do another one, let me take the weight. So we need a way to discern when it is time to push the limit, you know, and keep going, and when it's time to let the spotter just rack the weight. Call him in and say, Lord, I'm tapping out, I can't do another one. And here is a great place to start, okay? Whatever you're going through, whatever you're trying to resist in your life, ask yourself this. Is my confidence growing stronger, or is my integrity getting weaker? Okay, when you're like, if you're lifting weights, are you like, yeah, I can really just, this is good, or are you going, starting to think about how it's not going well? That'll help you diagnose how close to failure you really are, because we start justifying and we start flat out lying to ourselves and try and save ourselves right before our strength fails. And the same thing happens right before strength runs out when you're lifting weights. And when you see it there, you know what happens? You've seen it before. If you've ever lifted weights, you start compromising your form. because you're supposed, there's a really good way that you're supposed to do it, and then there's a really like, uh-oh, you're going to hurt yourself, and then bones start snapping and things go wrong. And I did that once. Remember when I was learning to deadlift? Because I was like, yeah, I'm going to be so, I see those guys on the YouTube, and they're that, and they're lifting 1,000 pounds. And I was lifting like 150, and I went, oh, and then I couldn't get off the couch for 6 weeks without making noises. Or I was just like, it's so impossible. Don't be stupid, Noah. But that's what you got. You got. You're supposed to use good form because that's how you, you know, you attack these things. But when the weight is too heavy, you start compromising your form, and you should have stopped. You should have stopped the set because you've made every moment after that increasingly unsafe. If you try to go further than and it starts getting shaky and you get weird, then you're doomed. So spiritually speaking, when your faith feels tested, endure. You know, it's something that you just, like, I can do it, but I don't want to do it, but it's hard. Endure. But when your character feels compromised, escape. All right, get out. That's bad form, you know. You got to get out of there when you start compromising the way that you're doing it. Because like James says, it is good to feel the burn, right? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Oh, yeah, this is good. But then just 10 verses later, he reminds us, when you're tempted, you know, let's be clear, no one should say, God is tempting me, right? This is the spotter's fault. No. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire. He knows exactly when to grab it. Don't blame the spotter. It's not him. It's you thinking, I don't need it. I can do another one. He goes, oh, dear, you're on your own. Right? So don't blame him. It is going at it alone that leads to failure. That's the problem. Don't try to do it on your own because God uses our struggle to form us the right way. But sin uses struggle to deform us and ruin it. And that's when you get all the pains is you think that you can do it. And a lot of our struggles start off giving us growth, right? Like you can just tell and it's going good and they're that way. It's the same way that like difficult relationships, anybody have a difficult relationship in their life? Maybe like a family member or something like that, or that neighbor that is just me, you know, it's like very annoying. Or maybe it's patient waiting. Maybe you have to, you're in a season where you just have to wait for something. Or maybe it's self-control, right? All of these things that you do, that you're working on, those are all good. That's you struggling and building strength, the strength that you need to withstand more and more earthly adversity, you know, and learn the lessons and how I do it. And I have hard conversations and that's good, good, good. But if we don't let the spotter rack the weight from time to time and you just keep trying to do all the hard stuff, well, our fatigue can start to undermine those very same things. It can undermine the same humility and patience and discipline that our endurance was building. You know, I'm day after day, you might be doing this hard thing and it's good for you and it's good for you, but at a certain point, maybe it's not so good for you because resisting, continuing to be in a state of resisting when you need rescue instead, well, that can lead to resenting and fantasizing and rationalizing, you know, and you just get you get totally different. And that is when sin compromises our form and it corrupts our character and it transforms the trial of a workout that we were doing every day when I'm dealing with this stuff. And it's a good trial because it's a workout, and it gets transformed into the temptation of a trap. It's no longer something that's good for you, that's supposed to be hard. It's now something that's going to get you. And that is why, in our story, Mrs. Potiphar made her advances, as we were told, day after day after day. Because hopefully, Joseph's relentless resisting would cause him to wear down his strength, and eventually he'd compromise his character and just say, Fine, we'll do it. Oh, your form's getting shaky. Don't, you know, like, fine, okay, whatever. But thanks to his faith in his spotter, thanks to his faith, when Joe's situation got real shaky and his trial that was like saying no, and it became an official trap, well, that's when he called his spotter. And his spotter had him rack the weight, because you do not endure traps, you escape them. You make a beeline and it goes this way, because we're told in the story that one day he went into the house to attend to his duties and none of the household servants was inside. So she caught him by the cloak. Aha! Aha! And she said, come to bed with me. What a weird, maybe you good-looking people, this happens to you, but somebody's like, aha, go to bed with me. That's just bizarre, but there's your trap. Gotcha, go to bed with me. But he's like, uh-oh, what do I do, you know? And so he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Run, Joe, run! Get, right? You got to get out of there. Escape to endure. It's time. There was nothing you could do. You are in a situation that is beyond your ability. Just get out of Dodge. He did not just say no to the sin to try and endure it. He said no to the setup. He said, I can't take this weight. I'm out. Because when a struggle grows beyond our strength, often the only way to win is stopping a battle before it begins. Okay? That's really what I want you to hear today. Is some of these things that you are facing, you got to just stop that battle before it begins. If it's something you're not capable of doing, you're not strong enough, get out of there. Joe survived because he got his heart out of harm's way. Like Bruce said last week, Joseph was able to escape because he already had a habit of taking his deepest thoughts and desires to God. You know, he's like, I already have my spotter. I got my branch. I got something that I can go to. So he was used to it and he was ready. When the weight got heavy, he knew exactly what to do. He's like, oh, get this off me, right? And God opened the door and he took it. So when things got heavy, he put his heart in the spotter's hands and he fled before he failed. Right? Before he failed, because it was getting closer and closer. And while escape is a strategy for success that some of us still need to learn, you need to know that it's okay to cut and run sometimes, right? That's something that some of us don't even know how to do. I'll tell you this, all of us could be better at leaving sooner. Okay? We need to tap out earlier. And I've seen this in real life. And I know what you're thinking. I know, Noah, it's probably you because you're so mature and you've learned, and it's not me at all. I'm the public enemy number one. But everybody knows in our generation, my generation, I'll say us, we're all in the same generation, sure. A lot of us late 20th century teens, if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, well, my wife grew up in the same time too, and it's what I'll call the People Magazine, Us Weekly era. And so she developed what we might call a very refined cultural appreciation for gossip because we were just training the country to be into gossip. And it keeps going. It's getting more and more all the time because the world's appetite for more and more hot goss, you know, is what we're calling it, has everybody wanting to spill the tea, all the lore. See all the words? We love gossip. We love it so much, right? But as we continue to just like love it more and more, I have been incredibly impressed watching my wife train her resistance by escaping the temptation before it crushes her. And here's how she does it. And I've heard this from other people too. I've heard these phrases come out. When a conversation starts drifting toward gossip, you know, toward talking about something that you really shouldn't, she will literally say, y'all need to quit because you're going to make me sin. Like right there. Y'all need to quit. You're going to make me sin. That's wisdom. That is wisdom to know. It's like, we can't do this anymore. We got to stop talking about it because I'm going to do it. Because I'm going to say, you know what else? You know, don't do it. That right there, that's letting the spotter grab the weight before your conscience gets caved in. That's saying, Lord, I can't even be a part of this conversation. I have to stop. Because as the often quoted theologian Kenny Rogers once said, you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away and know when to just run, right? You got to run. Ain't that the truth, though? I mean, like, you just know this in your life. There's some battles that you wish you'd just gotten out of there. It would have been so much smarter. Because sometimes folding your hand is how you stay in the tournament. And running away is actually how you win. You can go fight that other day. And it's because playing a losing hand isn't endurance. It's foolishness. Right? If you know that you're in a losing battle, fold it. Don't keep going. You're going to keep spending money. All you're doing is you're setting yourself up for a future failure that just gets more and more costly every minute that you pretend that you're going to still win. Know it. Just be like, no, I'm going to lose. I need to get out of this. So even when you feel like some struggle in your life has you in over your head, you're already too far, right? Remember this. Remember, the longer you wait, the shakier you're going to get. It's going to keep on going. But You won't get completely crushed if you just surrender your struggle to your spotter when he offers an escape. And if you are in something right now, there's a way out. There's always, he will give you a way out. That's what we were hearing from Paul. There's a way out. So really think about this, okay? There's a lot of struggles, a lot of temptations that you're facing all the time, and realize that you can just still surrender it, even if it's got you, right? Surrender that late night scroll before it crushes tomorrow's goals. Anybody here maybe on their phone later than they wish they were, and they're like, oh my gosh, and you cover the time on it because you don't want to see it's 2 a.m, and you're like, I had big plans tomorrow, not going to do them now. And you just keep going, right? Surrender. Lord, I can't do this. My wife, again, she's better than me. We all get it. My wife like puts her phone on the floor across the room because then it's not easy to get. Me, mine's right next to me, so I can just like, oh, I want it. Yeah. But surrender. Say, Lord, I can't do it. Like, I need it away from me. You know, set yourself up. Maybe you need to surrender that second drink before you're beaten down by a DUI. I mean, guys, I was a bartender for years. I see this a lot. Sometimes you gotta surrender that thing. I'm fine. I can handle it. I'm fine. Maybe you are like, no, I can't. Maybe I should stop now before things get out of hand. Maybe you need to surrender that secret fantasy that you're having before it starts compromising reality. Right? Maybe you're letting your mind wander in places that it shouldn't go. And you got to just say, Lord, take that, capture this thought and get it out of here before it starts affecting the way I'm actually living. Because in every temptation, from gossip to infidelity, ask the Lord to show you a way out the second that you feel your strength slipping. Because strategic escape is part of endurance, but excuses aren't. Okay, you can't justify it away. You can't say, I'm not doing so good, but I can stick it out. Don't do that. That's bad form. That's the lifter starting to sacrifice form right before the failure happens. So do you know your limits, really? Okay, do you know your limits? Really realize that. Where are you at on the ones that you should be fighting? God wants you right there. And where do you need to tap out? You got to make sure you know. And it's not so that you live scared or feel weak. That's not the idea of like knowing how little you can lift. It has nothing to do with that. It's so that the warning of failing can keep you safely growing. So when you see the limit coming, you can say, okay, that's about as far as I can go. And then after that, it's closer to death than it is growth. Because our biggest gains may happen under our heaviest weights. But when you trust God to spot you, you will never be without a way out. You can go into increasingly difficult and heavier things the more that you develop that relationship with Him. And although Job was a great example of the power to physically endure, when you have a very trustworthy lifting partner, you can keep going. Jesus took this further. He took it as far as you can take this, because he showed us how even after the full weight of sin falls on our physical lives, when we try to push it too far and it just crushes human, well, we have a supernatural spotter who is strong enough to rescue our spirit from death itself, even after we take it too far. Because he made a way for all of us by getting in the way of harm. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, that got the weight off of us, was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. He put himself permanently between the full weight of sin and the weak will of humanity. He said, you're gonna fall short. So he's always there. He is your eternal spotter for now, no matter how bad things get. So that we always have an escape from every single battle beyond our ability, even our battle with death. All you have to do is ask him for a spot. Each one of us, we've got to battle, every one of us is going to battle death. And we just got to ask him for a spot, which is why Jesus said, listen, watch and pray. That's it. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And also so temptation doesn't fall on you. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, you guys. The flesh is weak, he's telling you. And that's not an insult. That's not Jesus picking on you. That is a diagnosis. That is what we need. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And because God already knows that, Jesus didn't come to make us fail proof. He came to give us a fail safe. Because he's like, it's going to happen, but you're just going to need a way out. So don't wait for the weight to fall before you call. That's the message. Don't wait for the weight to fall before you call. Watch and pray. So easy. Watch and pray. He's watching. He knows, but you got to tag him in. Watch for the slightest sign of your strength starting to get shaky with whatever you're facing. When it starts to get shaky, you start thinking about compromising yourself, right? And then pray for a way out before your resistance training crosses from growth into death. Because he wants you there. He wants you in that sweet spot. You're pushing and you're doing everything you can, and it's really hard. But when you go, oh, Lord, I can't be in that situation tomorrow, or I'm going to fail. I need a way out. Pray for it. He'll give you a way out. Because our struggles can be good for us. It's so very true. But y'all need to quit before they make you sin. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for knowing our limits better than we do and for letting us feel the weight of sin without letting it crush us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you give us the wisdom to endure when our faith is being strengthened and the humility to escape when our character is getting compromised. And Lord Jesus, boy, we praise you for stepping under the full weight of sin and death to provide a life-saving fail-safe. And we thank you for giving us a way out when we feel tempted, a way through when we're getting tested, and a way home when we are getting lost. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.